Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. Welcome back. Episode 6 coming at you here. Today, we're going to talk to you about one thing every baby needs, whether it's every 2 hours or whether it's 2 times a day. Jordan, you got it?
Got what?
Got milk.
Well, of course I do. Well, now that we have that covered, we're going to talk this episode about our breastfeeding journey. From the get-go, I wanted to attempt to breastfeed my child. Obviously, I'm not judging anybody. Your baby needs fed, so whether that's formula, breastfeeding, supplementing, whatever you choose, as long as your baby's fed, I don't care. I knew that I wanted to try. And Corey, you had this motto the entire pregnancy. Do you remember what you always told me?
Just don't get your hopes up.
That's right. So I just kind of told myself, like, I'm going to try. And if it doesn't work out, then it's okay. We'll get formula and our baby will be fed and everything will be fine. So we did breastfeed, and we haven't given her a drop of formula.
No. And just to go back on what meaning I said that, was there is plenty of ladies out there that I feel like they get their heart set on, oh, I need to breastfeed. I just need to do it. It's in my bones, right? It's what I was put on this earth to do, is to make a baby and be able to feed it, right? But sometimes they can't. Sometimes they struggle. Sometimes they don't produce milk. Sometimes they just have issues.
Sometimes it's the baby as well, latching and things like that too.
Yes. It's out of their hands, right? It's not up to them whether they do it or not. And what I find that would be hard on you is if your heart was set on it. I just didn't want you to get in that mentality of, I have to do this. And by us choosing that, we're not telling you, you have to breastfeed. You do whatever's best for you, whatever's best for your baby. But that's why I always said that is, you know, I could tell when your hopes get up, and then if something had happened and it wouldn't work out, I just didn't want that crash on top of all the other things that we were dealing with.
And I appreciate that. It kind of helped me put into the right mindset of, we can try and we might plan something and it doesn't go that way. So I'm very thankful that our breastfeeding journey has been a positive one. So let's get to it. Let's talk about learning how to breastfeed. And again, as we had stated at an earlier episode, we never took any breastfeeding classes. I did advocate for myself and I did ask for the lactation consultant while we were in the hospital. We didn't have any classes on how to do it, how to feed your baby. The nurse that we had that helped with delivery, she helped significantly. She helped guide me and showed me in those first moments after Carly was born, how to get her to latch and, you know, start on this side, go to this side, la-di-da, all the things. She did show me about an app. I'll talk about that more later, but she just provided a lot of help for me. So ask your nurses, ask the people that are in the hospital, and that if you're choosing to breastfeed, ask them in the hospital for help, because they're going to give it to you. If you're a first-time mom and you don't know how to do it, like, I mean, I've been there. So just advocate for yourself and ask for help. Contact a lactation consultant and you'll figure it out. You'll get the hang of it. So at the very beginning, I was pretty sore. They had told me that's normal. One of my best friends had said every time that she latches, it's going to hurt for a little bit. And then you're going to cramp. Like when they were massaging my uterus, she's like, when you're nursing, it will cramp for a while. And it did. and it hurt, but we moved past it. The pain does go down after the baby latches. And I would say after, what did you say? Like maybe 2 weeks, even that of nursing, that the pain kind of dissipated some.
Yes. And we had some products that did help with that a little bit. And we had the little ice pack deals, that we did put on, and we ended up getting those wrong in the beginning. I mean, that's one thing of just asking, you know, you thought heat felt better, when actually ice was what we actually wanted.
Yeah. And they're a little like a gel bead, insert that would go inside of your nursing bra, and they would just provide some comfort and some cooling. We actually had two sets of them. So I always had one set in the freezer. And then every time I got done nursing, I applied nipple cream, and then I had placed these cooling inserts in my nursing bra, and that helped a lot. And it's almost like you've got to like brace yourself for that latch. And then once the latch is there, it's like you could take a deep breath and okay. So you're starting to learn how to do it and enjoy it. Like a lot of the people that you talk about, like, oh, it's such a bond. It's all these things. And at those early stages, it isn't quite that yet, at least not for me. I was more nervous. Like, am I holding her right? Is she in the right position? Does she have a correct latch? Like, you have a lot of questions and you're a little bit like boxy. I mean, robotic, like trying to figure it out. And then once you kind of get the hang of it a little bit, you do definitely develop that bond.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, going back to the holding, the nurse told you how to hold her one way. And it worked for just a little bit, but then you ended up getting uncomfortable with it. And we went to a different hold. And I can't remember where you found it, whether it was online.
The lactation lady, I think, showed me.
Yeah. So just stuff like that is whatever works for one person isn't going to work for the other. Google it, ask around, ask your friends, you know, use that support network a little bit, because this is not a one size fits all deal.
No. And one thing that I remember now that we're talking about it is I had one of the Bobby pillows and I really didn't utilize it very much. I didn't find it to be as comfortable when I was nursing her. So we didn't use it. And who's to say that the next baby that we have, if we're able to breastfeed again, that it might be more comfortable then. But I didn't utilize the Boppy, and I know that there are people that live and breathe it. So I'm glad we have it, but it wasn't a have to have for me.
Well, and I think partially why it didn't work is different body types fit that well. I feel like it held Carly too high for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like almost looked like it was in your armpits. And so it was way too high. So I, once again, now that we've used it, maybe it is squished down a little more than what they are brand new. But once again, that it still comes back to, just because it didn't work for you doesn't mean it's going to work for somebody else. Because I think if you had a longer torso, or maybe even the sectional that we're sitting on, when we're feeding, maybe it slouches you down lower, whatever that is. It just looked too high on you, and it was uncomfortable for you.
Yeah. So one thing that the babies do, you want to make sure they have a correct latch. And I had Googled like what to look for, how to get a correct latch. And one thing that we didn't have any problems with was a tongue tie, like Carly having a tongue tie. That does affect the amount of milk that babies are getting and their latch. So if you are having some issues with that, always like reach out to your pediatrician. I know that dentists help with that as well, that they can help that and make the latch better. So I just wanted to hit on that. If you are trying and it doesn't seem like it's working very well, just reach out to your pediatrician, lactation consultant, and they will help you the best that you can. So yeah, those early days, there were a lot of learning, a lot of some pain, but over time you get the hang of it and you definitely do develop a bond.
Yeah. And another thing is kind of, you know, with everything newborns, try to keep a schedule as much as you can. And you use some tools on helping you keep a schedule.
Yes. The nurse, like I had mentioned earlier, the nurse told me about an app and I still have it on my phone. It's called Baby Tracker and it was free and it has a variety of resources for you and tools for you to help with your, not just breastfeeding, but feeding the baby in general. There are ways that you can track when you start the your feeding, which side that your baby starts feeding on. So if she started on the left side last time, I'd want to switch the next feeding and start on the right. And that's just like postpartum brain is like not there. So I don't know how many times I would look at the app and be like, what side did I start on? Okay, I need to start on this side the next time. Or what time did she feed? So it will track how long your baby is feeding and then which side, and it'll tell you, oh, your baby started eating 36 minutes ago. And it was just a nice way for me to not have to log the time every time. I could just go into the app. It will tell me the exact minutes and I can go from there. If you aren't breastfeeding, it has the option of formula feed and how many ounces you were given, your baby was given, pumping, how much you got from each side. It's just a great app. I would recommend any new mom to look into some sort of baby tracking app. It just is one less thing that you have to keep in your mind when we know that your mind is not there at the beginning. So that app was very helpful. And it was about every 2 hours, I would say, at first, and then it slowly builds to about 2.5 hours. And then, you know, weeks or months later, it's every, I wouldn't say weeks, maybe months later, it's every 3 hours and then 4 hours. Like it just, the time between feedings increases as their stomach gets bigger and they can hold more milk.
Where did you get that schedule? Was that part of the app? Was that just things you read?
Those are things that I had read. The nurse and the pediatrician had given me that like, oh, every 2 to 3 hours. And then I had just done some research too. Obviously, you don't want to be super time-based. You want to look for those hunger cues. One thing that the lactation consultant had mentioned was pacifiers and the use of pacifiers and to not let that outweigh the hunger cues that your baby's giving you. So it was about every 2 hours, but look at your baby, watch your baby. If they're crying and they're showing signs of hunger, feed them. It's not like they know yet that like we eat 3 meals a day. They know they're not like that. Some days she would eat more. She would eat less and more frequently. And other days she wouldn't. Just get to know your baby. And like if it was something that at the beginning it had been about 2 hours, by 2.5 hours, I would at least try to feed her if she was awake or wasn't sleeping, just to offer. Sometimes, you know, she might not have been hungry, but at least I tried to offer her every 2 to 3 hours.
Yes. It naturally goes with, you know, the older they get, the more their stomach grows, the less they need to eat. And so, yeah, like Jordan said, just listen to the hunger cues. They talk about that a lot. You're going to pick up on that. It may seem foreign now if you don't have a kid or aren't breastfeeding or whatever, you know, just don't have a newborn, it will come. Don't worry. You'll start picking up on that pretty quick.
We strictly breastfed for about 2 weeks. And then I knew going into this before we even had her that I wanted to find some sort of balance between breastfeeding and pumping because I wanted you to have that bond with her as well. I know obviously it's a different than the mother's bond, but I wanted you to be able to have the opportunity to feed her and maybe take a little bit of the burden off of me. So we waited about 2 weeks. Were you, I guess I never really asked you. I just kind of told you like, hey, you're going to give her this bottle. But I know that you were always willing to help and to try things out and see.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I think every dad wants to feed their kid a bottle. Yeah, the connection obviously is different between would have been her and I and you and her, obviously, just because
you're the dad.
Yes, I'm the dad. So it wasn't bad. I knew that you also got tired in your busy schedule with everything where you didn't want to feed her all the time. You wanted to go make supper or clean the bottles or just doing some of that stuff. So I didn't mind it. I really didn't. I think it's something that every dad should do. How frequently you want to do it. I'm sure some dads will want to do it all the time, and I'm sure some dads will do it a minimal amount. But I just think it does help. It does help the woman, gets her something else to do. So it's just not, I mean, you think about it, it's like a job.
It is.
I mean, give her just a little bit of PTO, let her go home early, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So after 2 weeks, I tried pumping and I had used my wall pump, not a wearable. And I just decided to, when you got home from work, it was, her feeding was within an hour each day of whenever you got home from work. So I typically, if you were on schedule and not super late, I would have you feed her. I would pump and then I'd have you feed her that bottle. I didn't know how many ounces to start with, because that's the downfall of breastfeeding, is you don't know how much your baby is taking in, how many ounces that they're getting. So you're just looking for signs that they're full. I think I asked the pediatrician at one of the doctor's appointments and I said, okay, when we start pumping and bottle feeding, how much should I start with? And I think it was around 2 ounces, but you could always Google it. You can always ask your pediatrician. And she had said, start with 2 ounces. And if she starts crying and acts like she's not done eating, then get her some more. If she's pushing away, if she's acting like she's full, then that works. And you can just slowly start building up the amount of ounces. So we started with about 2 ounces. And thankfully, I was pumping like 4 or so. So that was one way that I really built up a supply. And whenever we have our next kid, I want to make sure that we do something similar like that, because that's how I was able to get a supply and in the freezer, is just from pumping once a day. And you would feed that bottle. So you got to have that bond with her. I got to build extra milk, and then I could have a little bit of break and not have, and have you feed her. One thing that I was given on our baby shower was a haka. I didn't know what it was at first, so I had to kind of Google that, figure it out. But I also used that when I was nursing her. So essentially, like, if she's feeding off the right side, I would have the haka on the left side, and it would catch, it's called a letdown, it would catch that extra milk from the other side. And then when I would switch sides with her, I'd put the haka on the other side. I didn't do that every nursing session. If you did that, it gets kind of old, because it suctions to you, but you can bump it with your arm, or the baby might kick it and it falls out. So I think they've actually come out with some better like insert ones now. But that, even doing that each day and getting a half an ounce to an ounce extra each day, was able to build up that freezer supply and freezer stash. When it comes to building up the supply, you giving her a bottle, we obviously had bottles to wash, not near as many as if you were strictly pumping and feeding or formula feeding, but we did have a bottle warmer. You liked that.
Yeah, I got to pick that out. I kind of got to pick the bottles out just a little bit. Ended up, you thought we would like one, but you ended up, we liked the other one, didn't we?
The type of bottles?
Yes.
She did use both.
Yes. And so, because, you know, we started with one and you're like, okay, let's just stick with that one. I'm like, oh, we got others in there. We already sterilized them. We might as well just try them all. And I guess that would be one other thing, is get some different bottles, because one baby's not going to like the same bottle as the others. Now, luckily, our baby wasn't super picky with bottles a whole lot.
Yeah, we used Dr. Brown's and Philips. But they do come up with variety packs.
Yes.
That give you kind of a sample of bottles.
And we ended up getting different bottles throughout the baby shower. So we didn't really have to have a variety pack, but we contemplated about getting one, just because I had a couple others in there that we kind of wanted to try. But honestly, the Philips and the Dr. Brown's, she took well to both of those.
When it comes to bottle washing, we sterilized all our bottles, the nipples, all the parts before she was born. And then we got a bottle drying rack, and that thing is handy. We didn't get the Boone brand or whatever that looks like grass. We had a space saving one. I think it was OXO brand. And that was just next to the sink that would dry them off. I heard from my one friend to get a separate bin, I guess, tub, you as you would say, to wash just her bottles in. So I had a tub that when they were dirty, even if I didn't wash them right away, I've rinsed them out, I'd set them in this tub so they're not sitting in the same sink that your dirty dishes are in, just to help prevent some of that bacteria intermixing. So I'd keep them in that bin, and then I would wash them with a bottle brush and put them in the drying rack. Now, I know I didn't sterilize them after that quite as much as I probably should have, but our baby wasn't born earlier, super needy as far as immunity goes.
Yeah, if she would have been like a preemie or something, we probably would have took that a lot differently, but we just felt like, you know, if you read everything out there, they're going to tell you to do everything under the sun because it's the safest way. If you want to do that, go ahead, but you're going to be exhausted and you're going to find places where you are going to, I'm not going to say slack, but just not care as much. And that was one thing that we just didn't really care as much.
And part of it, I think, was because she was only getting one bottle a day. Mm-hmm. It's not like if she was utilizing bottles more frequently, we definitely would have been cleaning them through more, not that they weren't cleaned, they were clean, but sterilize them more frequently if she was using bottles as more throughout the day.
So to go back on your haka, as we get into storing some of this stuff, where do you store it? What was our method to our madness there? I will say the one thing I hate about the haka, I don't know how many times I spilled it out of the fridge. It was a handful of times.
And I would get so mad because I worked so hard at getting that milk.
Oh, yes. I had to hear about it the rest of the day. But it'd be no more, and I'd open the fridge door. The first time I opened the fridge door, I had Carly, if I remember right. She was in my arm. I opened the fridge door, falls right out, milk all over the place. And I'm just like, WTF. And so I had to go sit her down, get it cleaned up. And I think she was getting hungry, too. So then you're dad mad scrambling, trying to get the bottle warmed up and trying to clean up the mess you just made. But that was one thing. It didn't matter if it had the lid on it or not. I think I spilled it both times.
We had two hakas. One had a lid and one did not. And I would definitely recommend get the lid. I know it's a little bit more expensive, but it is worth it just to save a little bit more spill, a little bit less.
It probably won't protect you out of a fridge drop spill, but just like on the couch or something, if you tip it over, because we did a lot of that on the couch, it did save probably there quite a bit. So some people, you know, they write all those things on the bags. If any of you guys are watching anything on Facebook or anything on the internet, people are like, oh, it's a PM milk. Oh, it's an AM milk. Did you go into that in detail?
I didn't, because I had read where it said, oh, the morning milk is supposed to keep them up and awake, and then the night milk has more something that's supposed to make him sleepier. But then I read somewhere else that it didn't really matter. So I just mixed it, and the milk was milk. It did have the date. It did have the ounces, and that was about it.
Because we didn't even label whether she was sick or you were sick or anything like that, did we?
No, I kind of had it in my mind of the dates that she was sick, and so I kind of kept that a little separate, knowing that that was the sick milk. When it came to storing, I had to do a little bit of Googling as well, because there's a lady on Instagram that I followed. I think she's called like Be My Best Friend or something, Breast Friend. And she shared a lot of information about different types of pumps and then the storing. It can be in the fridge for X amount. It can be in the freezer for this long. It could be at room temperature for this long. And that really helped, because you want to make sure that your baby's not getting spoiled milk, and you work that hard to get it. You want to keep it good. It can be in the milk can be in the fridge for 4 days. And I'd read something about keeping it in a glass jar, and we had like mason jars with the lids on them. So when I would pump, if I had a fresh jar that nothing was in it, I would pour the milk straight into the jar and put it in the fridge. Now, if I already had like yesterday's milk in the mason jar, I would keep the milk that I just pumped in the container that it was in, leave it in the fridge long enough to get it cooled off, and then I would pour it. I read that you're not supposed to mix like freshly pumped milk and chilled milk together. You need to chill the other one a little bit. So I would do that. I'd keep it in the glass jar until I had enough to measure out and pour into the bags. One thing that you will get like almost like the fat rim. Do you remember that white, extra white, like thicker, creamier stuff? It was more of the fat in the milk.
Yes. And it does not matter because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, well, that's like your colostrum early on. It's like that the whole time. But yes, give it a good little swirl and get it off those edges and then pour it in there. Because if I remember right in the beginning, I don't know if we necessarily knew what that was. We just kind of started pouring. But pretty quickly we figured out, okay, that we probably need that in there.
Yeah. So it will form around the edge and you just shake it, swirl it, get it kind of mixed up before you measure it out. I had the little milk storage bags. So I'd pour out them as much as she was eating. So if she was eating 2 ounces, I'd make it 2 ounces. If she was eating 2.5, I'd make it 2.5. And then you just kind of build it up. As she eats more, I increase the bags. But you want to keep it kind of at about the same amount that she's eating, because if you thaw a bag and then you have X amount of time before it goes bad. So if you had too much in the bag of what she's eating, then your clock is basically ticking to use that milk. Keeping it in the smaller portions is better.
Yeah, and definitely think about, you know, 2 2-ounce bags equals 1 4-ounce. So kind of do your math that way as well, because if you have a 1 ounce bag and a 3 ounce bag, yeah, it's going to stink pouring the 1 ounce in there. Or maybe you have a 2 ounce and a 3 ounce and I only need 4. Okay, well, now I got an ounce left. What am I going to do with that? Especially now that you've thawed it, clock's ticking. How quickly can we get it gone? And so if you just plan ahead a little bit and think ahead, I know that's tough to do.
And it will come.
Yeah. But if you just plan ahead, it will save you milk in the longer run for sure.
Yeah. And there's times where if, say, I needed 3 ounces and I had a 2 ounce bag and I really didn't want to get out another 2 ounce bag. So I had some in the jar in the fridge. So I would thaw that. Some people say not to mix that, but I did mix the thawed milk with the fresh milk. They're both chilled and I had mixed it just to save the bags. But yeah, I did a lot of bag checking, you know, when she's drinking 6 ounces. Okay, well, I have a 2 ounce and a 4 ounce bag, or I got 2 3-ounce bags. So yeah, keep it kind of at the smaller numbers and that will help you as you get going. But you will figure this out. I know that it's all new and it's all confusing, but it will come and you'll get the hang of it.
Well, you're just going to have to steer through everything changing. You know, we've said this once before. The only thing with kids is change is consistent. Everything, I mean, they're always throwing you through a loop. Once you get something figured out, bam, onto something different. Once you get that figured out, bam, onto something different again.
Going back to that, freeze the bags flat. Lay them down to put them in the freezer. They take up less space. So if you stand it up, it's going to get thicker at the bottom. So you just lay it flat and then you can kind of make like a brick bag when you're filling them up.
Yeah. And then if you want to stand them up after they're frozen, you can.
Yeah, then you can.
You can do that. Yeah. Once you got done on maternity leave and, you know, we've talked a little about pumping, which we never really talked about this part of it. We'll get into it here real quick. Pumping and breastfeeding in the beginning, Jordan, you were pretty uncomfortable, pretty shy. Pretty, I don't know the right word of it, but you weren't comfortable with it. You didn't want to do that in a exposed place or anything like that.
No, and everybody has their own comfortability level. I fed her in front of you, and that's about it. If people were over at our house, I would go to our room. If we were over at someone else's place, I would go to another bedroom of my parents' house or your parents' house.
Which I would say that's the most common courtesy thing to do. As we progress now, I mean, here we went to Florida here, it seemed like a month ago, and you breastfed her on the plane. Now, we were kind of hidden. We were in our own aisle, but just that comfortability of, yeah, not really worried about it. She's going to eat, fall asleep, and be done with that. And you can get covers and stuff like that you did use.
I did try out the covers to try to get her a little bit more aware of it. Cause when it's just me and her at home, like I'm not covering up, I would try the covers out just to get her a little bit more used to it. But honestly, there's so many times I just would go and feed her in the car if we were out shopping, if we were doing whatever, I just turn the car on and I'd feed her in there. And everyone has their own opinions and their own levels of that, because I did debate, like, it's my house, I should be able to feed her wherever I want to, and I shouldn't have to go to another room, which is true. You don't have to, it's your house. However, I felt more comfortable without extra eyes on me. Not that I would make them feel uncomfortable. If they feel uncomfortable, like, look away, I'm sorry. I just wanted to do it for my own.
Yeah, and it would be awkward too.
Oh yeah.
You know, it is awkward because you're trying to figure it out. And
if you're switching sides and if she's not latching right, there's a lot of things that I personally didn't feel super comfortable. I liked to be in this my own space where I didn't have anybody, like, watching me.
Yeah, and I think it'll come. Like Jordan said, there's no right or wrong way to do it. We're not telling you that you have to do it this way or that way. Each family's different. Each person's different. You can do it how you want. This is just our story of how it became. Anyway, so once you get into work and you start pumping, how many times a day did you pump?
When I first went back to work, she was 9 weeks old, and I would pump 3 times a day. But thankfully, my part-time daycare at that time was only a few blocks away from the school. So on my lunch / plan time, I would go over there and feed her once a day. And that really did help going back to work. I know we kind of talked about before having to go back to work. That kind of gave me something to look forward to. It's like, oh, I can make it till noon. I can make it till noon at work. I'd go and I'd feed her. And that was just one less time I had to pump at work. Plus, it helped to keep the milk supply up, because it's obviously the baby's going to empty you better than a pump will. That allowed me to not have to pump one extra time. So it was 3 feedings a day, but I only pumped twice most days. And one of them, I think, was at like 8:45 in the morning. And I know that sounds crazy. Like, I've only been at work for a little over an hour and now I got to pump. She would have ate at 5 o'clock that morning. So I was due to pump. At work, when it came to scheduling it, I had just emailed my principal before I came back and I had said, hey, just so you know, I've adjusted my schedule to have my paras or someone cover for me. I will be pumping about this time and this time each day. So if you're looking for me and I'm not in my room, that's where I'm at. Just to make my principal aware, like, obviously they have to allow me to legally. I just wanted to keep them on the know of that.
Yeah. And one thing we probably skipped a little bit is we ended up having 2 pumps. We had a older style plug-in pump, and then we did get what you'd call a hands-free pump. If I remember right, the wall pump, they always said, pumped more efficiently. It would basically suck harder than the little battery-operated ones. But you ended up liking your little battery-operated ones. I forget, what was the brand of those?
Mom Cozy. So I had a Spectre. I can't even remember if it was Spectre 1 or 2. It was the pink one. It was the one that... it had to be plugged into the wall all the time. So I had that one, and that's what they had said needs to be your main pump if you're pumping. And then the wearable, it is less efficient at pumping the milk out. But I had the Mom Cozy M5, and it was actually funny how we got them through insurance. I had one, and then I had got one, and then our insurance changed at the new year. And I'm like, well, I haven't had my baby yet. Like, I'm going to go see if I can get one through that insurance too. And I could. So I did actually spend a little bit of money on the wearable, but I wanted to try both at work because I didn't want to necessarily be tied to a wall all the time. I did like the wearables. I agree that they probably didn't pump as efficiently, but just having that walkability, you know, I had an area at work that I could pump in, and then I got to where I would put my pumps in if there was no one in my classroom, and I would wear them then. Pumping at work is, I mean, it's not fun, but I'm thinking, okay, this is a way that I'm still able to breastfeed my child. This is a way that I don't have to buy formula, trying to power through it. There are times where you have to look at pictures of your baby and you have to watch some videos and listen to them cry, or bring a blanket that has their scent on it, because that does help kind of stimulate some things to get some milk flowing. And definitely, like, stress does not help with that. There's times where I'd put the wearables in. I'm like, okay, now I can send this email and I can go do this and make this copy. But I had to tell myself, slow down, because when I'm trying, my brain's somewhere else, I'm not producing as much milk. And then I was stressed because I wasn't producing as much milk. So try to keep the stress at a minimum if you can. One thing that I was terrible with was drinking water. You got to drink your water. I did get some body armors to kind of help, and oatmeal cream pies. It was a good way to say, oh, well, it's for the milk. I can eat oatmeal cream pie each day. It's no big deal. There are some things that you can look at to try to increase that supply, but stay hydrated and try to not be stressed.
Yeah, it's funny. We still have a whole box of oatmeal cream pies in the pantry for some reason. We're not pumping anymore. I have to do some investigating on that one. But the one last thing I wanted to touch on the pumps is when you first started pumping. There's different inserts for different types of breasts and nipple size and elasticity and all of that stuff. So the books do a really good job. If not, watch some videos. They'll kind of tell you what size for what. It's not going to be exact though, so take it with a grain of salt. I just remember when you first tried your hands-free ones, we were going down the road, weren't we? We were in the car.
That wasn't the first time, but I did use them in the car one other time.
But anyway, she was, you know, first time trying to use them. She's trying to figure out where to actually get them at, and ended up it hurt you. They hurt after you would pump. And we did figure out we just needed a bigger insert. Mm-hmm. And so if something's not really feeling right 100%, and they have different settings, you know, suction strength and suction time and all that stuff.
And there's like a stimulate mode before you go to an express mode.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do some playing around with it. You might change the inserts. Just try different things, because if they're not comfortable, just don't say, hey, not dealing with it. There's some settings or something that I'm sure you can change, make it work better for you.
Yeah. It's a trial and error process.
One thing we did learn. Jordan obviously doesn't have this problem really, because Jordan doesn't drink that much, but trying to navigate people who still want to have fun, but yet still need to pump. Jordan, do you ever pump and dump?
I never pumped and dumped.
Why is that?
You hear the thing, oh, just pump and dump. It's fine. Well, I think my pediatrician told me, one of my friends, and said her pediatrician told her that the way the alcohol goes through your body is not like you would think. It's not like you have to pump, take a drink and then pump and then dump it. I did learn the way, if you want to have a drink, the way to is to just time it out. So you can have your drink. You can start drinking your drink while your baby is feeding, because that alcohol isn't going to be getting into that milk. So now obviously if they're feeding for like 30 minutes, it might, but start your drink while they're feeding. And then you have so much time before the next feed comes. So do some research, Google that. Like, there are ways that you can still have drinks and still be nursing your baby, pumping for your baby without having to lose any of that precious gold milk.
The last thing I do want to talk about is, let's just go over some real quick pros and cons of breastfeeding formula. Now, we don't have formula experience, but we've been through the gauntlet. We would kind of know how that would work at the same time. Obviously, the first one is formula is very expensive. So sorry for those people who have to get formula. It is very expensive. If you don't know, go look at a tub of it on the shelf.
No, it makes me cringe.
Luckily, you know, we got to save some money doing that. Now I didn't get my baby Breeze a Keurig type bottle maker, but oh, you know, gosh, it is what it is. I'll stay for it. So the other thing that you had was kind of developing a bond between you and the kid.
Absolutely. It becomes more pleasurable, is not the right word. You enjoy it more as the time goes on. And when you have to feed so like every 2 hours, it does kind of get like, oh, it's time to feed her again. As she gets older and that time kind of spreads apart, you do enjoy it. And it also is just kind of a slowdown. I feel like I'm a go, go, go. And that just tells me like, it's okay, slow down, enjoy this moment. So it definitely did develop a bond.
Yeah, and there's several times where, you know, after, oh, I got to feed the baby, and then it turns into extra snuggles, and dad gets home, and, oh, well, I got to feed her, and then about an hour and a half later, even though she only ate for 30 minutes, oh, yeah, here you go. So beware of that, guys. One pro was a lot less bottles, like Jordan talked about, not having to clean the bottles, because that does take time, and for us, unfortunately, it was usually at night. It's usually right before bed. We get everything kind of clean, get set up for drying for overnight. A lot less bottles to wash. One of the cool parts is, you know, we talked a little about the AM-PM milk cycle. Well, when Jordan was sick, we did get sick as a family, and Carly didn't get it the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think that is because Jordan built up that immunity in her milk and probably gave her the antibodies, so she did not really feel that.
Yeah. So when they're that little, it makes you feel like, okay, there's some extra level of protection from getting sick.
Yeah. Some cons is pumping. I mean, you got to pump, takes a lot of time. That's an added expense because there is pump parts that wear out. Now, luckily, you know, Jordan didn't produce a massive amount of milk, but if she did, those parts would wear out faster. We'd have to have more storage. So there is some stuff there as well. So just some pros and cons we did want to talk about there. We're working on wrapping this up. We did go over time just a little bit here. Hopefully we covered, I think we did cover every section here about our, at least our breastfeeding world. Hopefully we helped somebody out a little bit. Once again, there is no right way to do this. The only way is to make it your own. Just like everybody else, you're going to have to steer through all of the obstacles just like we did. And we just hope we make it a little bit easier for you.
And let us know if you have any questions.
Yes. Send a comment on all the different media platforms, you know, review, whatever. We try to look at all of those. So send us a question. We'll try to get it answered back to you. Once again, please like, share, subscribe, follow, leave a review, set a comment, and we'll see you in the next one.